I want you to open your Bible to John chapter 10 and verse 10. We're going to read a number of verses today. John chapter 10 and verse 10. If you're there, I'll be there in a second. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. John 8:44, please. Jesus talking, he says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Joshua 24:15. We're going to come back to these. It's just where we're going right this second. To lay a groundwork. Joshua 24:15. Are you there? And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. If y'all could sit over here with us, we would appreciate that. Thank you. Now turn to James 4, please, 7 and 8. James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, you said if I be lifted up, you, then you would draw all men unto yourself. Well, that's what I want to do, is just lift you up. And I'm asking this morning that you would help us right now choose to just bring all of our sin to you and ask you to forgive us. Bring all of our cares to you and ask you to deal with them. All of our busyness or distractions or cares, bring them to you and ask you, Father, would you take care of these for us? Thank you so much that you do care and that you will according to your word. Now, Lord, this morning, right now, help each one of us choose to break agreement with self, sin, Satan, the world system, and our stinking thinking. Help us to lay down what we think we know that we could pick up what you have for us today. Help us to see, please reveal your truth and what you want us to see today. Help us to see the way you want us to see, to understand. And then, Lord, help us to practically know how to walk out what we're going to hear, so that we could honor you, we could live in your presence, and spend eternity with you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Title of the sermon. It's kind of funny. Because I did two sermons this morning. One was called The Devil and You, and one is called The Devil and You, Part 2. So this is Part 2 first. Okay? The Devil and You. All right. Who is the devil? Who is he? Let's look up a few things about him. John chapter 10 and verse 10. I want you to see something. This is, if you don't get any other verse, this is the main verse for today. John chapter 10 and verse 10. Are you there? John 10:10. The thief, the devil, cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. In other words, the only reason the devil comes is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He is a thief, he is a murderer, and he's a destroyer. That's what the devil comes for. That is who he is. Look at John chapter 8 and verse 44. We'll see what else Jesus has to say about the devil. John 8, 44. Are you there? I have been asking God. I ask God all the time, what do you want preached? What do you want taught? And for months, he's been telling me, we're going to talk about the devil. But he's had us, if you went back and you looked at, there's a pattern of why we preach what we preach. And it's to help give you a foundation in your life. If you don't have a foundation, what are you building on? I've asked you many times exactly. It's what the word says, sand, which won't hold up. I don't know any township, city, or village that would approve building on sand. Right, Glenn? And you used to get builder's license, you know, license to build stuff. What are we building on? We want to build on, if I could borrow this for just a second, we want to build on the Word of God. We want to build on what God says is true. That's why I ask you to bring your Bibles. That's why I ask you to open your Bibles. Because I want you to be building on and have the same foundation of truth that God has for you. The same one that he brought me to. I have given my testimony so many times, a number of you have gone out and given it for me. Okay? Because you've heard it so many times. But I tell you, it's amazing to me when I think about it that I started as a drug dealer and all I did was read the word while I'm smoking a joint. I'm not even reading it for the right reason. But it's so powerful that as I read it, he grabbed a hold of my heart, first had me put the joint out. And then as I read it, he began to reveal things in my life of where I was at. That's what the Bible says. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Hebrews 4:12. And then as I read it, and I first saw my condition, and then I saw Jesus lifted up on the cross. And when I read, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In my heart, I heard him say, Father, forgive Harvey, for he doesn't know what he's doing. This all happened by picking up the Word of God. Up until that point, what I had for a foundation was what I was taught in public school, what my parents taught me, what was right or wrong. But how do you know what's right or wrong? I ask in you. Now, Glenn, Pastor Glenn back there, took the Bible and held it toward me and said, the Word of God tells me what's right or wrong. That's how I know what's right or wrong. But what is it you actually believe is right or wrong? See, every one of you are your own little world. And you have a king that sits on your world. You have a platform, a foundation of what you're building your life on, what you believe is true, what you believe is not true, why you do what you do, why you won't do other things. Every one of you has your own, is your own little world. What is your life, what is your world based on? My Bible says, see, I believe the Bible from cover to cover. When I met him, by reading that, remember I told you, I'm sitting there reading that, and he's touching my heart. And I said, wow. It's like he's just like revealing. He's just like bringing stuff to the surface. Now, I could lie. I could try to turn away. I could try to run from. But how can you run away from the truth? Because it doesn't matter where you go, the truth follows you. You can't get away from it. You can say all the words you want, but the truth is still the truth. So as I'm reading it, the Word of God, the Word of God. As I'm reading it, God touches, begins to do a work inside of me, and I meet him the next day. I was so amazed because nobody in my 20 years of life, nobody had ever told me that you could know God in a personal way. I just had a thought. I want to challenge you with it. Did you tell anybody this week they could know God personally? Did you tell anybody this week that they could know God personally? Nobody had ever told me in 20 years. Matter of fact, there was a time after I had already been in ministry, preached around the country and whatever, I went back to Tallahassee where I'm from. And I don't remember exactly how this worked out, but I went to meet this preacher of this large church. I don't remember what the name of it is, but anyway, maybe because my mom went there, I don't remember. But anyway, I went to meet this preacher, and I gave him my testimony. Now, this is a preacher of a large church in the town where I'm from. And he has a vision to reach not just that city, but that county, that whole area, whole metropolitan area. It's the capital of Florida, Tallahassee. And he had a large church. He had a radio ministry. I think they had a TV ministry, if I remember correctly. Had a large church. And when I gave him my testimony and I said, nobody ever told me that I could know Jesus personally. But by the time I was 20, six different churches, as I was go to church with people through Boy Scouts, my parents, Bible studies through different people, they don't tell me I need to get baptized because I knew enough of listening to God, listening while I was sitting here just like you are. I knew enough to know about God. So when they would ask me questions, I knew the answers. I could tell them all, I know. Oh, well, you need to get baptized. I've already done that twice before. Oh, no. You need to do it with us. Okay. So I do it six different times. Now, the first time wasn't really my free will. They, quote, baptized me as a baby, you know. Sprinkle me. That's what they call it, baptism. It's not in the Bible. But anyway, it's what they call it. But all the other times, it was I made a choice because somebody told me. Now, I was sincere. I did what somebody in a church, a religious setting, told me to do. But before I was 20 years of age, knowing all I knew about God, having obeyed, gone through confirmation class, catechism, baptized, quote, all these times, go to church, stand, sit, kneel, sing, listen, do the whole rigmarole, I would have gone to hell. Now, we're going to end up talking about that. Hell. But not today. I'm looking forward to it. It's a hot subject. Sue used to say to me when I first got in church, and the preacher would say, if you love Jesus, come out. We're going to go soul winning. We're going to go out and tell people about Jesus. So I'd go out and I'd do that. And so after I went out the first time with this deacon, the whole time we're sitting there for an hour, I kept waiting for him to bring up Jesus. And he talked about where the guy worked, and he talked about the weather, and he talked about his nice house, and he talked about the garden. And I'm sitting on the edge of my seat like, when are we going to talk about Jesus? I thought that's what we came here for. And finally we got ready to leave, and he says, oh, I want to ask you a question. I thought, maybe this is it. Maybe he's finally going to say something about Jesus. And he said, here's a little one of the cards from our church, and it gives our address. We'd like you to come visit us sometime. And I went to the preacher, and I said afterwards, I'm sorry, I'm a tattletale. I'm still a tattletale, by the way. And I went to the preacher, and I said, preacher, is that what you meant by going out talking to people about Jesus? Is that what you, here's what your head deacon did. You sent me with him. Is this what you meant? Because I kept waiting for him to get to talking about Jesus, and we never did. We ate our little cookies, our little thing. I don't care. And the preacher said, no. That's not. I said, then please don't ever torment me and send me don't ever send me out with him again. I said, send me with somebody who does what you're talking about. I said, I want to tell people about Jesus. So the preacher took me out. Show me how to talk to people about Jesus. So I took Sue out. We went to the house. We left. And Sue said, Harvey. She said, I've never seen anybody do it like that. And I go, what? She said, we weren't in that house 2 minutes and you already had the people in hell. I said, well, they said to have a warm-up conversation. I don't know how I could get any warmer than that. I said, I didn't come here to talk about their flowers and their kids and their job. Hi, my name's Harvey. I'm from Burning Bush. We're in a neighborhood talking to folks about Jesus. You want to talk about Jesus or not? Right, Steve? Right, Don? And they invite me in. Like if I hold my hand out, you put your hand in mine. That's it. I'm going to take you to Jesus. I just want to get you to Jesus. But there's somebody who doesn't. His name is Lucifer. It used to be Lucifer. Now it's called Satan. The devil. Your adversary. The one who fights against you. You're trying to go forward and he's resisting you. Your enemy. He hates you. Let's learn about who he is. John 10:10, it says he's a thief, a murderer, and a destroyer. John 8:44, I want you to notice what it says about him. It says, ye are of your father, the devil. By the way, he's talking to people here, and he says to them, y'all think I'm a little bit rough? Jesus is talking to religious leaders of the Jewish nation, the chosen people of God, and he says to them, ye are of your father, the devil. He didn't pussyfoot around. He didn't pull punches. He didn't dance and wave his hands. He made it clear. Let's tell you the truth. Did he do that because he's mad at them? I'm sorry, I'm asking you.
No.
Do you think he did it because he didn't like them? Was he trying to straighten them out? I'm asking you.
No.
Not really. What he was doing was saying, here, this is the truth. Let me put it so close, right in front of your face, that even you can get it. He says, you are of your father, the devil. That means everybody has a father. Your father is either God or is the devil. And who you follow, what you choose, who you choose to let live in you is going to determine where you spend eternity. You see, Jesus died for me. He died to pay for all my sin. But I read an interesting verse this week. I'm sorry, this isn't in my notes. This is all just free. 2 Timothy 2:19. It says, the Lord, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. You see, there's people that are professors. It says they profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. I have to look up that reference for you. It's somewhere like 1 Timothy 3:16 or something like that. But I'm not sure if that's it, but somewhere over there. You see, there's people that are professors. They profess that they are followers of God. What day is this? Sunday. So Saturday. Friday. I was doing a job in Lansing. Let's see, where was I? Holt, which is Lansing area. And I'm in a man's house, and we were recommended to him to go do a repair, and I went to repair his tub. And he said the other guy that you were at, he said he doesn't hardly ever give praises, but he praised y'all. He said he couldn't believe how good a work y'all did and blah, blah, blah. And that was fine. And he started using some choice words. And when somebody starts using my Lord's name in a way that is what the Bible calls cussing or using it in vain. By the way, God's last name is not damn. Okay, I thought I'd let you know that. And so when he's using this language and I'm there working on his tub and he's going to hang out in the bathroom and talk to me like a little canary the whole time, I didn't want to keep hearing this kind of language. So I'm praying. Now, in the old days, I just tell him what for. I'm serious. I know y'all think it's hard for me to get blunt and clear, but there's times I've done that, okay? Well, I'm trying to let God live His life through me, and so, God, how would you like to say this? So I don't know how we went there, but somehow we got to talking about God. And he wants to tell me, oh yeah, I'm from Traverse City and I grew up in Traverse City Baptist Church. I thought, didn't take, did it? But I didn't say that. I'm just telling you what I thought. Look, I'm being honest. We need to get honest. We have these thoughts. It doesn't mean that just because it runs through your brain, it needs to run through your mouth. Okay? Because it's not going to help people. But I still have the thoughts. Do you have the thoughts? Okay. Is it better to keep your mouth shut sometimes? Yes. And then what would be even better? How about we ask the Lord, Lord, what should come out of my mouth? Yes. Now, Dave knows exactly what I'm talking about because he has this all the time, don't you, Dave? In homes. And Dave's like, he'll come to tell me about it. And he'll go, this person is, and he's like, he wants to be like Jesus. I love Dave. He wants to be like Jesus. So Dave will say, yeah. And then he just won't say anymore. Because it's like, just say anymore. It's going to be, now he's going to have to ask forgiveness. So he'll just say, they were interesting. Or something, you know. He'll say something like that, you know. And he'll just go, yeah. You know, that's what he'll normally do. He'll just go, yeah. And then he'll, you know, and I already know. I don't have to know all the details. Whose father are they? I can tell whose father they weren't. You know, whose daddy they didn't have. In John 8:44, he says, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust, the strong evil desire." That's what lust means. It's a strong desire, usually in the evil side. Okay? It says, "The lust of your father ye will do." who lives inside of you? This man said, oh, I was raised in Traverse City Baptist Church. We went there all the time. Whenever I go up there, I talk to my pastor. I'm thinking, your pastor? You live in Holt, you live in Lansing, and you're telling me your pastor's in Traverse City? Oh, yeah, I still like him, and he still respects me. And he's telling me how he already retired from whatever. I don't remember if it was the gas company or the phone company, Meritech, so whatever that is. And now he's a manager of a dealership, the parts department or service department or something at some dealership. And he knows all these big wigs, and he's made all this money and made wise investments. And because I let people talk. I know y'all don't think I do, but see, what I like to do is I say, God, what do you want me to do here? He says, let them talk. I said, well, what do you want us to talk about? And he said, well, let's talk about their favorite subject. I said, what's that? And he said, themselves. So I just ask him questions so people can talk about themselves, because I really do care. But when they're talking, it helps me to know stuff. God starts showing me stuff so I can pray for them. See, I'm talking to you, but I've already talked to him about him. Do you understand? But I'm talking to you about something. So the man wanted to profess that he knew God. And I said, but as I'm listening to him and I'm thinking about all these choice words came out, because he didn't seem to know the God I knew, because he kept calling him by the wrong name, you know. So I knew he didn't know the God I knew. So I said to him, let me ask you a question. If you were to die right now and stand before God and he said, why should I let you into heaven? What would your answer be? I'm a good person. Now, let's project 30 years from now, because I think he's 60, so let's say he's 60. Let's project 30 years from now, and God in his mercy allows him to live on this earth till he's 90. And his answer doesn't change. And now, I've already gone on to be with the Lord. And Father says, Harvey, I want you to come here for this one. And then he comes and he stands before God, and God says, why should I let you into my heaven? Do you think he's going to say, I'm a good person, when he's standing in front of God? I mean, do you think? What do you think? Let's just say he does. Do you think that's going to fly with God? Can I share something? This isn't even in my notes, but it's on my heart. Are you aware that hell is a real place? Are you aware that hell is forever? Now, we could say, because he told me, I don't know how he said it, but he made it perfectly clear he didn't want to hear no more after I asked him that question. He didn't want to hear no more. So I didn't talk no more. I just asked him questions so he could talk about himself. That's how I found out all this stuff about him. Now, this guy seems to be a really nice guy. I left my not Rotozip, that other thing, Dremel. And I'm about a mile away, and I get a phone call. And he said, Harvey, he said, you left your Dremel. Oh, thank you so much. So I get back, and he said, yeah, I would have kept it. He said, but mine's better. So I just laughed as hard as I could, because I thought that was funny. He said, and he was just joking, you know. Yeah, I thought about keeping it, but it's not as good as mine. And so I just started laughing. I thought that was really humorous. It's my kind of humor, okay. Ha, 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 ha. I laughed. And I go back, pick up the Dremel. He's a nice guy. He's thoughtful. He's considerate. I could have waited till I got to Lake Odessa, which would have been 45 miles away, to find out that I left it in Holt. But the guy went back in there to check to see if I left anything and called me. That was very thoughtful, very considerate. I appreciate that. Do we get to go to heaven because we're thoughtful and considerate And we seem to be good on a horizontal basis comparing with other people. Do you understand that I care where this guy's going to spend eternity? Do you understand that I care? Do you care? I'm asking you. Do you care? Because there's people around you, John, that I don't know. There's people around you, Mercada, that I don't know. There's people around you, Patty, that I don't know. And Cheryl. And while you're stocking those shelves, there's people you see every day, Steve. And it's like, I know Steve will pray for people because I've heard him do it. We've talked about it. And he'll pray for customers. He'll care about them. He'll talk to them as much as he can. He's collecting money from them to buy their gas. And he's real. I've heard him because I've called him and they say, Steve, you got a phone call. And he says, let him wait. And no, he doesn't say that. He just makes me wait. So they lay the phone down and I'm hearing Steve talked about 40,000 customers in a row while I'm going, Steve, Steve, can you hear me, Steve? Steve, pick up the phone, Steve. You know, and I hear him. And he is so kind. He's like so cheerful. He's encouraging everybody. He talks to them right where they're at, helps them. He tries to be kind to do that. But I can also know, I know my Steve here. And I know he prays for people. He cares for them. He sees. God shows him things. He prays for them. He doesn't necessarily pray for every single one, but he prays for those that God puts on his heart, those that he sees a need for. Did God put anybody on your heart this week? Because the devil's real. Who is the devil? John 8:44. We're there. He said this, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. You see, just because somebody names it and says, oh, well, I grew up in this church, I went this, I know all this stuff, doesn't mean that they possess God. They might profess God. Oh, I'm a Christian. But that doesn't mean they possess God. Just because they can talk the talk doesn't mean that they walk the walk. Just because they know about Jesus doesn't mean they know him. Do you understand? Are you with me? What comes out of their life? What comes out of their life in their choices? Says he was a murderer, the devil was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not. That means he stayed not in the truth. One of the reasons that we talk about the Word of God so much is because it is the truth. It doesn't contain truth. It is the truth. Everything else that says it's true, I use the Bible as to gauge it whether it's true or not. Because as I've read this, when I wasn't even looking for God or looking for truth, the truth grabbed a hold of me and changed my life. Changed my life drastically, and I mean like right now, boom, an immediate moment in time. And from that point forward, my life's never been the same. Now, I had a choice because it took a year for God to get me into a church. Because when I got saved, I was on a Thursday. I wanted to go to church on Sunday, but I didn't have, my motorcycle was in the shop. So I was at, and I lived out on the side of a mountain in a little trailer and didn't have phone because we were only there for a couple of months. And, while we were salesmen, and I called the man who brought me to Jesus and I called the preacher who led me to Jesus, and I couldn't get either one of them. And so I went and hung out with the same people I hung out with all the time. And anyway, it's a long story short. I didn't get in church for a year. Now, during that year, I loved Jesus. I read my Bible, but I got back into smoking dope. I got back into drinking, got back into smoking cigarettes, got back into rock and rolling, got back into sin. Do you understand? Because who I'm associated with, where I'm from. I still love Jesus. I would sit there and be smoking a joint with guys. I remember guys saying to me, why do you keep reading that Bible while we're smoking a joint? Quit reading it out loud. It bothers me. They didn't want to hear it, but I loved the Word of God. Because that's what it brought me to Jesus. So even when I got back into smoking dope, I would still read the Word of God out loud to my drug buddies. So much so it bothered them. And they're like, you used to be our leader. You used to be the guy that was the fun of the party. You hung from the chandelier and you did all the weird stuff. And now you just keep wanting to read that Bible all the time. But I wasn't in church. My life wasn't where it should be. But I love Jesus and I love the Word. And as I read this, he says, the devil abode not in the truth. He didn't stay in the truth. We need to stay in the truth. That's why we need to have the Word of God. That's why you need to bring your Bible. That's why you need to have your Bible every day so that you read it and it's what you take in. Get some thoughts. Start your day off with God. And you'll walk with God through the day. You have a whole better chance of walking with Him if you start your day off with Him. Before you leave the house, read your Bible. Read a chapter. Read two chapters. Read three chapters. But read your Bible before you leave the house. The devil did not stay in the truth. It says, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. He's the father of lies. Who is the devil? He's the father of lies. He has children. He lusts. He's a murderer from the start. He doesn't stay in the truth. He's a liar and the father of lies. Turn to Acts chapter 13 and verse 7, please. Acts 13 and verse 7. Let me give you a number of verses here. Let's read verses 7 through 12. Are you there? Acts chapter 13, verses 7 through 12. Are you there? Acts 13. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts 1, 2, 3, 13, verse 7. You ready? Which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man. And this man called, he was a man in government, and he called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, this man withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Get this. Here's a public official. He heard about these two preachers that came to town. He wanted to have an audience. He wanted to learn more, hear more. Maybe he had gone to one of the public meetings. But now he wanted to hear more. So he called him. Well, there was a guy named Elymas, okay, and I don't remember what his name is at the beginning of the chapter. What is it? Bar-Jesus? Yep. Okay. And this man, he went to withstand them. He went to hinder them. Why? To turn away the deputy, to turn away the public official from the faith in Jesus Christ. Let's keep reading. Verse 9, then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, you bad man, you really shouldn't do this. Is that what he said? He says, oh, full of all subtlety and all mischief, you snake. You child of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee. Look what happened to him when he did that. And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness. And he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the public official, when he saw what was done, he believed, being astonished at the doctrine or the teaching of the Lord. Look at verse 10. What do we learn about the devil? This guy, he was full of subtlety and mischief, meaning trickery or craft or deceit or guile. in mischief. Going to end up in a wrong place doing something. Oh, isn't this funny? It's not funny. Thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness. Folks, I seek to be as kind as I can when I'm talking to people. But I would rather hurt somebody's feelings and tell them the truth than to make them feel good and let them go to hell. See, I don't know about you, but I know hell is real. I know it's real. And there are people that go there every single day, and it's not a joke. I can't tell jokes about hell. I can't tell jokes about the devil because I don't see it as funny. Because I've met too many people that are in bondage, too many people that are on their way there. When I met Steve, Steve was on his way to hell. Is that right? But Steve had gone to church. Steve tried to be a good, whatever that group was he was part of. I already know, but I'm not saying it out loud. Steve tried to be good and do what they told him. Steve knew about God. But Steve was on his way to hell. And I think, if I remember correctly, I was just in there to get some gas, wasn't I? Just pay for some gas. But you see, somehow God got loose when I walked in there that day and started talking to him. And then he wanted to hear more. Now, not everybody wants to hear more. They like it if you pray for them and bless. They like being part of the Bless Me Club. Bless me, bless me. You know, bless my finances. Bless my health. Bless me, bless me. But if you tell them truth, you ask them a question like, if you were to die today, are you 100% sure you're going to heaven? Immediately? People don't like that question as much. Maybe they're not going to come back, but Steve did. Steve wanted to hear more. And as we went on talking, there came a day where Steve accepted Christ and was delivered from hell. And I've known Steve since 1993 when that happened. And Steve is not perfect, but Steve loves Jesus. And Steve walks after Jesus. Yeah, it was right over there. On that corner, 54th and Division, on the other side, in the parking lot. I remember we were driving down the road and felt like God said, pull over so you could deal with him. Because we were talking and Steve was in agreement. When somebody's still arguing, I just keep driving. But when they're in agreement, we're going to pull over. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? He's been with me. All right. And we kept driving, didn't we? All right. We pulled over, didn't we? Verse 10. And said, listen, I would rather, and Paul would have rather been nice to this guy. But this guy was trying to keep, no, Steve. No, I don't want you to hear. No, Steve. No, I'm going to turn you from the faith in God. No. And the man of God said, listen here, snake breath. Listen here. That's what he said. Listen here, you trickery, you old trickster. You're trying to deceive this guy. You're a child of the devil. He said, you're not a child of God. You're a child of the devil. And he said, and you're an enemy of all righteousness. I want to stop here on that word righteousness for a minute. Okay? Well, before that, he says, will you not cease? Will you not stop trying to pervert the Word of God? He wanted to be nice, but the guy wouldn't let him be nice. Was he going to be nice, trying to be nice to this enemy and let this guy go to hell? He had to stand up. He still spoke the truth. And if you'll notice the verse before, which some people have a hard time believing, but the verse before, in verse 9, it says, he was full of the Holy Spirit. Wow. And he spoke some hard things. Wow. And it didn't say he was full of pride. It didn't say he was full of self. It didn't say he was trying to straighten him out, self-righteous attitude, judgment. He wasn't doing that, was he? It says he was full of the Holy Spirit. And he said, you are not going to stop. I was not going to, led this couple to the Lord. They wanted me to go to lead this other couple to the Lord. They told me the house, the address. My friend and I went there. The couple wasn't there, but the grandmother was there. I walked up, start talking to her. She only spoke Spanish. No habla español. Look around. Hey, you speak Spanish? Come here. I said, say to her in Spanish what I say in English. And so I start talking to her about Jesus. These two women pull up. And as soon as they pull up, I knew it had to be God telling me. I mean, it's not like I'm so smart. He revealed to me these are Jehovah Witnesses. I really appreciate that the Jehovah Witness are so thorough, so moved that they will leave their comfort zone and they'll go out and they'll pursue people. Even though they're doing it with error, they will go, no matter how you treat them, they'll just keep going like an Energizer bunny. That's how we need to be. Not taking their lives, but we need to go with that kind of spirit, a care for reaching the lost. I am so glad, this is going to sound weird to you, I'm so glad that we don't have many people here today. You know why? Because God, one thing God is wanting to do is get us down to the people that are in oneness with what God is wanting to do here. And one of the things God's wanting to do here is, he's, number one, he's wanting Jesus Christ to be honored. Number two, he's wanting us to be based on the Word of God. Not on our opinion, not on our feeling, not on what feels good or seems good or fits in society. This week, we were getting blood drawn. What'd we do? Shots. That's it. Yeah, shots. God bless you. And there was these kids acting like kids. You know, just all over the place, right? So this, they had these little tables with like all these little curlicue things with, you move the blocks. Well, this one kid was like picking on this girl over here, and she was trying to do it, and he was like bigger than her, and he was picking on her. So I said, hey, come here, boy. Whatever his name, I don't know. I don't think I called him name. I just said, come here, little kid, whatever. And he came. And I kind of put my arm around him and said, you see that one? That one's neater, and I'm showing him. His mother sat next to me, and she said, get your hands off my son. Yes, ma'am. No problem. I'm a grandpa. I do this all the time. I'm not thinking nothing about it. I turn around and look. Dudley's eyes are like this. Janiah's eyes are like this. The lady's eyes are like this. The kid, he's not thinking nothing about it. I'm not thinking nothing about it. But both them are, they're, all their eyes are like this. I'm like, what? I'm like, I don't have a clue. What'd that do? You know? You touched him. Yeah? But don't you know there's so many perverts and all this stuff going on? And yeah, I'm not doing that. She doesn't know that. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't think that way. I don't know. That was in my notes somewhere. Where was I? Where were we? Righteousness. What is righteousness? I just want to camp here for a minute. What is righteousness? I like that. Okay? What is righteousness?
What I am in Christ.
What you are in Christ. Okay. What is righteousness?
The opposite of unrighteousness.
Awesome. Good. What else? What is righteousness?
Truth. Doing what's right.
Doing what's right.
Freedom.
What's righteousness? I don't know. Say it louder.
Acting within the will of God.
What else? Righteousness. What is righteousness? Who says what's righteous?
She said God.
Who says what's righteous? Anybody besides God? I'm drawing a line. I just drew it on a chalkboard. Okay, you ready? Do you know that you set up what you think is righteous. You have your own scale of righteousness. Do you know that? It's not true, except in your own little world. You have your own parameters of what is righteous. God says what's righteous. Do you ever find yourself judging somebody? Thank you for being honest, that one. Two. Thank you for being honest. Do you ever find yourself judging somebody? It's because you have a sense of righteousness that you've set up of what is right and what's wrong. So when you are judging somebody, you're setting yourself up as the judge. My Bible tells me that only God's the judge. I dare you to go look at Romans 7:7. It says, I had not known sin except the law had said. Are you righteous? See, if you don't admit you're wrong, if you don't admit you have fault, I appreciate that you're trying to do what's right. I really do, but I want to help you because this is something needs to be said, I think. I appreciate when somebody wants to do right, but have you met people who are self-righteous? Have you met people who they're trying to do right, but they're judging everybody else? And if you ever try to talk to them about them, they can't hear it. They argue, they justify, they defend, they excuse, they explain, they blame shift. I dare you right now, dear Holy Spirit, would be your prayer if you want to say amen when I'm done. Dear Holy Spirit, when I do that next time, please bring it to my attention. Amen? Is there anybody not willing to do that, say that? I'm letting you know this because we set up our own thing of what's right. And I'm doing this. But that doesn't make it right. But I got it from the Bible. I got it from my parents. I got it from my church. But if you find yourself judging others, there's something wrong there. In Acts 13 and verse 10, he's talking about a follower of the devil. He calls him one who tricks people. He's full of mischief. He's a child. He's an offspring of the devil. He's an enemy of all righteousness, of what God says is right. And he perverts the right ways of the Lord. I think it was Ed, one of y'all said, what is righteousness? Doing what's right according to the Lord, something like that. One of you said that. That's awesome. Look at Matthew 16, 23, please. Matthew 16, 23. Who is the devil? Jesus turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Who's Jesus talking to? Are you there? Matthew 16, 23. I'm sorry, I went too fast. Genesis, Exodus, Matthew, 1, 2, 16, 23. You ready? But he, Jesus, turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not, or you don't want the things that be of God, but those that be of men. You don't favor the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Who is the devil? He offends God.
He doesn't favor or want the things of God. That's who the devil is. He is your enemy. Do you know how he gets power? Look in Luke chapter 8 and verse 12. Luke 8:12. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts. When you're hearing the word of God, the devil doesn't want you to have the effect of the word of God inside of you because it's living. It's going to produce an effect inside of you. When I ask you to read your Bible every day, do you understand that the devil's saying, no, don't read it? Mm-hmm. Or maybe he'll say, yeah, you can read it. But then he gets you so busy and so distracted that you don't. That's what happened to me when I first got in church. The preacher would say, open your Bible. And I'd say, that's what I haven't done since the last time I was here, because we went Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And then in between, I plan on reading my Bible. And every day. And I never would. I might read it on Monday, and that's about it. But usually I didn't even make that. And every week, every time I went to church, the preacher would say, open your Bible. In the beginning, I would say, that's what I haven't done since I was here last. I want to do it. And I tried everything, and I could not seem to develop the habit of reading my Bible. Anybody else ever had that problem? Okay. So, I say, God, how do I read my Bible? Because I want to read my Bible. Now, I'm going to teach you a key verse in the Bible. John 14:26. I call it the Holy Reminder-er verse. The Holy Spirit never forgets. It's kind of like, did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurs to God? Okay, but anyway, it goes like this. You ready? It says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Jesus said, whatsoever I have said unto you. Are you ready? I couldn't get to where I read my Bible every day. I tried. I put it right in a prominent place, but I was always so busy. And then all these little kids around, you know, wonderful little kids, were all over the house like bumblebees. And I just did not do it. So after a few months, I guess, of saying I wanted to do it and trying and not and failing, really, I was really good at failing, reading my Bible. Because the devil will let you do anything but come to Jesus. He'll let you be religious, just don't come to Jesus. This man, when he told me the other day, you know, using God's name and all that in the wrong way, he told me, I pray to God. And then he realized what he said. He goes, in my own way, you know, I follow God in my way. His standard of righteousness. But see, he didn't want me talking about it because it made him face truth. He didn't want to deal with it. He wanted to live in the deceit where he was at. So I said, God, how can I read this word? And God brought me to that verse, John 14:26, and he gave me this idea, and I said, God, I want to read your word so every day before I eat breakfast, I want you to remind me to read your word and put your word in my heart before I put any food in my mouth, because I like to eat. The very next morning, he reminded me. Now I had a choice, because the food was on the way to my mouth when he reminded me. I'm telling you, you check out the video. I am telling you, that's exactly how it was. It was Harvey. And then I realized it was him. Yes. He said, weren't you going to do something before you ate? But God, it's hot. We didn't have microwaves back then, or if we did, we didn't have one. He said, but what did you say? I said, if you will remind me to read it, I will read it. I just can't seem to remember. Well, now I had no excuse, because now I can remember, because he doesn't forget. So don't pray it if you don't mean it, because he's the only one who can get away with nagging, and he'll nag you. If you ask him, will you remind me? He's going to say, I sure will. I was just waiting for you to ask me. He's going to get you. He's going to remind you. But if I got it to you this way, do you understand that the devil doesn't want you to read? Because the devil knows when you hear the word, it does something inside of you to change your life. It does something inside of you to change your thinking. It does something inside of you to change the way you see people. It does something inside of you to change the way you react, interact with people. It changes the way you feel about things. It changes you. It's living. You cannot be the same and read the Word of God. It's impossible. But so the devil doesn't want you to do it. Luke 8:12. Remember we just read it? It says, "Those by the wayside are they that hear the word, then comes the devil and takes away the word out of their hearts." How does he do that? Compare that, if you want to write a verse next to that verse, write Hebrews 4:2. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. Sorry to say 4:12, and I knew it wasn't 4:12. Hebrews 4:2. "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them." Why? "Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." What if we stopped right here today? I don't know what time it is, but let's just say it's done. Okay? And what if I said to you, what are you going to do with what you heard today? I'm asking each one of you. I'd like 20 answers here. No, serious. I'm asking you. Okay? I got one answer here. I want you to think about what I'm saying. Faith is an action word. If you just sit there and I'm talking and you go, even if you agree with it, but you don't do anything with it, it didn't profit you. "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them." I'm preaching. She's hearing. He's hearing. Okay? The gospel is preached to both. But the word preached did not profit them because it wasn't mixed with faith in them that heard it. One, they both hear it, but one benefits by it. The other one doesn't. What good does it do for me to preach another 30 minutes and give you a bunch of verses if you don't even do something with what we've already given you? So what I'm going to say to you is, today, I'm just trying to teach you a key that will revolutionize your life. Now, if you like your life where it is, and you want to just stay there at this level, just keep doing what you're doing. Except for you won't get to stay there, I'm sorry, you'll end up backsliding. Okay, I'm just telling you. You can never stay where you are. You're either going to go forward or you're going to go back. That's what you have to do. Now watch. When you hear the word, what are you going to do with what you heard today? One of the things you could do is you could take and you could write those verses down and take them home and read them again. God, open this up to me. Another thing you could do, and if you got like a little, whatever you call this thing, where she's looking at it on here, it's probably got a little thing where she can go back and see the one she's already looked at. So you go back through your little memory, and then you reread them. Now, if something sticks out to you, write it down. Don't just do the lazy electronic thing that we all do, but actually write it down, because when you write it down, it gets inside of you more. Because you have to think about it. Your eyes, your hands, and your little brain are all working together. It's not just your ears. More of you is involved to write it down. If something sticks out to you, even if it's a phrase, write it down and meditate. Then that's what you want to do. You want to meditate on that. You want to realize that thing's like a... When y'all were a kid, did y'all ever eat jawbreakers? Y'all know what a jawbreaker... Or candy, like, you take... Somebody was passing out some little candies. You put them in your mouth, and they like... you suck on them for a while. You're like... You know what I mean? You like get all that, what do you call it? Flavor. You know, you get that stuff out of it. You know, because you just suck on it for a while, right? Well, that's like with the Word of God. It's like you put it inside of you and you just meditate on it. You just think on it. Okay? Another thing. Pray it. Pray the word. The word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. God, I don't want to be one of those. I want to be the person of faith. Teach me how to be the person of faith. How do I do this? What can I do with this word? Pray the word. You could pray any verse in the Bible. It's either something you want or something you don't want. I mean, in a nutshell, my wife could probably make it better than that, but in a nutshell, pray the word. Pray it. I didn't ask you to go home and spend 2 hours doing all this. I ask you to go home. You could do everything I'm just saying to do, you could do in 5 or 10 minutes. Now, the longer you spend in it, the more you're going to get. One of the things that's hard for me when I eat food that tastes real good is it's gone so quick. Sue will fix something, and it's so good, like spaghetti. And man, I go to eat that spaghetti, and it is like I consume that first page, that first plate. Dude, it was like so good. It was like, again, you know, I hope you're not in the way when I go to eat, okay? Because I enjoy it so much. And then I go, oh, I got to eat a second plate because it was so good. And now I'm going to try to eat it slower. And I try, My wife and daughter get on me because I make noises when I eat. Now, the grandkids like it. You know, I do. And the grandkids like it, but my wife and daughter just, especially my daughter, it gets on her nerves, you know, that I'm making all these noises. And Sue is looking at me all the time because I smack my lips. I'm sorry. I wish it just put me on an island and just let me graze. You know what I mean? Like, I love that food. Well, it's do it with the Word of God. Do it with the Word of God. How, I'm asking you, I almost started saying names. How are you going to be different after today? How is your life going to be different because of what you heard today? How are you going to think different because of what you heard today? How is your marriage going to be different? Your relationships, your job, your home, the spirit in your home, your peace or your lack of it. Wouldn't you like to have more peace and joy? Or joy. The devil hates you. The devil wants to keep you away from all these things we talk about. God, am I self-righteous? Are you willing to pray it? If he told you the truth, would you be willing to hear it? Or are you going to argue with him? And now, I'm drawing a line. Okay, this is for those who want to go further. If you really want to know truth, ask some people around you, am I self-righteous? Now, don't do that if you don't really want to go further, because you're going to hear truth and it's going to hurt. But they care about you. A friend loveth at all times. The kisses of an enemy are deceitful, but faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. You know that verse? Faithful are the wounds of a friend. That means people around you, have you ever wonder why people around you can hurt you and do? Sometimes it's because they're telling you the truth. And sometimes it's just because God's allowing things in their life to touch what's in your life. Because God's wanting to deliver you. You've asked him to deliver you. You thought it was this little magic marker, this little, what do you call those things, eraser with a cross on it, of course, was going to come out of heaven and was just going to rub it all away, and you were just going to be walking around in Never Never Land. It doesn't work like that. faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Would you allow me to look up a verse that I want to share a verse with you, but I don't know if you want to hear it, but I'm going to share it with you. 1 Peter 5:10. This probably ought to be a verse for burning bush. But it's a process of God in our lives. 1 Peter 5:10. You ready? But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. The suffering is because God deals with us where we're at. He deals with truth. For us to get delivered, we have to admit truth. It's not a little magic eraser with a cross on it coming down from heaven and just erasing it. We have to admit a truth or be willing to look at something that God wants us to look at. I told you, God's dealing with me about pride, self-righteousness, and self-confidence. So think about self-righteousness. We set up what we think is right. And we try to live by that. Well, I'm doing this, and I'm doing that, and others aren't. That's ours. Or ask God, God, am I self-righteous? God, is there self-righteousness in me? See, how do I get something out of it? I ask God. And then I have to suffer a little bit because I have to suffer because it goes through pain to be honest. See, when we go to talk with people, we want them to tell us what they want to hear. Now, you know we love you, but we still have to tell you the truth. And I can't just wink at what you say. I can't just act like it's okay. When that guy was saying God's name and stuff, and he wanted to laugh and whatever, if I didn't say anything, then he's thinking I'm in agreement with him. Amen. Do you are you following what I'm saying? Yes. Would you want me to be in agreement with him? No. Do you think God would want me to? Or do you think that might would squelch or quench what's going on with me and God to be in agreement with that? So I had to stop and say, God, how do I say this? Because how do I say it? So what do you want me to say? See, we can see stuff in other people. That's fine. Let's pray for them. But we need to ask God, what do you see in me? What needs to be different? What do I need to see? See, the devil hates you, and he wants to tear you down. He wants to tear your life apart, and he wants to keep you away from truth because Jesus said, if you know the truth, the truth shall make you free. But it's not just knowing it here, it's applying it. Because I hear from people that are ungodly all the time, I hear truths coming out of their mouth. But it doesn't help them because they're not doing something with it. Does that make sense? I know your choice is you want to be like Jesus. Well, one of the ways we need to realize what the enemy's like, that's why we're talking about what we are, because that helps us to recognize, is that in me? Am all these things that we talked about, am I a thief, a murderer, destroyer? Do I steal from other people? It doesn't have to be something tangible. Do I steal their peace? Do I steal their joy? Do I rob them of their reputation by talking about them? Am I destroying them by, or do I lift them up by taking them to God? Yes, I know they hurt you. I know they did whatever. You need to go talk to somebody else that is going to lead you to and help you to take them to Jesus. Do that. But don't just go talking about them. Does that make sense? See, we don't want to be like the devil. But this is how the devil is. He's a liar. Do we lie? I caught myself, I lied this week. And I went, God, I didn't want to lie. And it just came out, and I just immediately turned around and said, ma'am, I didn't tell you the truth. Here's the truth. Folks, we have a choice. Who's going to live in us and through us? And we make that choice with every conversation, every thought, every choice that we make in our life. We make that choice. Who's going to live through me? I want Jesus. You too? Did you hear anything today that would help you this week to walk with Jesus? Jesus, right now, we want to put our lives in your hands. We don't want to be like the devil in any way. Lord, we want to know the tactics of the enemy and know how he lives, because we don't want him living his life through us. We don't want to be deceived. We want to break agreement with lies, come into the truth. We want complete truth, and we're asking you to reveal that truth to us and help us to see it so we can admit it, bring it to you, get forgiven, and then walk in the truth so that we could walk with you every day and learn how to do that. Please help us, remind us, Holy Spirit, to read the Word every day. Help us to remember every day. The devil doesn't want us to do it. If we think, oh, well, I can't do it right now, I'll do it later, help us realize that devil's excited about that. He's smiling. He's glad, because he knows if you put it off one more time, it's easier to put off next time. So help us to remember that, Holy Spirit, so that we allow you, Jesus, the Word of God, inside of our hearts, so we will think different, we will see different, we will feed on that, we'll learn how to live and how to live and walk with Jesus. Lord, I'm asking that you would keep each person here safe, protect them, guide them. Lord, thank you for bringing them, all of us together. Thank you for bringing them here, bringing all of us together. We want to commit this time into your hands. We say thank you, Jesus. Amen.